I'm pretty much screwed. That's my considered opinion. Screwed. 6 days into what should be the greatest 2 months of my life, and it turns into the nightmare. I don't even know who will read this. I guess someone will find it eventually, maybe 100 years from now. For the record, I didn't die on Soul 6. Certainly the rest of my crew thought I did, and I can't blame them. Maybe there will be a day of national mourning for me, and my Wikipedia page will say, Mark Watney is the only human being to have died on Mars. And you will be right, probably, because I'm surely die here, just not on Soul 6, where everyone thinks I did. Let's see, where do I begin? The Ares program, yeah. Mankind reaching out to Mars to send people to another planet for the very first time and expand the horizon of humanity, blah, blah, blah. The Ares 1 crew did their things and came back heroes. They got the parades and fame and love of the world. Ares 2 did the same thing, in a different location on Mars. They got a firm handshake and a hot cup of coffee when they got home. Ares 3, well, that was my mission. Well, not mine per se. Commander Lewis was in charge. I was just one of her crew. Actually, I was the very lowest ranked member of the crew. I would only be in command of the mission if I were the only remaining person. What do you know? I'm in command now. I wonder if this log will be recovered before the rest of the crew die of old age. I presume they got back to Earth all right. Well, guys, if you are reading this, it wasn't your fault. You did what you had to do. In your position, I would have done the same thing. I don't blame you, and I'm glad you survived. I guess I should explain how Mars missions work. For laymen who may be reading this, we got to Earth or bit the Omo way through an ordinary ship to Helmus. All the Ares missions using Helmus to get to and from Mars. It's really big and costs a lot, so NASA only built one. Once we got to Helmus, 4 additional unmanned missions brought us fuel and supplies while we prepare for our trip. Once everything was a go, we set out for Mars, but not very fast. Gone are the days of heavy chemical first burns and trans-Mars injection orbits. Helmus is powered by ion engines. They throw argons out the back of the ship really fast to get a tiny amount of acceleration. The thing is, it doesn't take much reductant mass, so little argon let us accelerate constantly the whole way there. You'll be amazed at how fast you can get going with a tiny acceleration over a long time. I can regale you with tales of how we had fun on the trip, but I won't. We did have fun, right? But I don't feel like reliving it right now. Surface it to say that we got to Mars 124 days later without struggling each other. From there, we took the MDV to the surface. The MDV, the Mars Descent Vehicles. The MDV is basically a big can with some light thruster and parachutes attached. Its sole purpose is to get 6 humans from Mars orbit to the surface without killing any of them. And now we come to the real thick of Mars exploration, having all our shit there in advance. A total of 40 unmanned mission deposited everything we would need for surface operations. They tried their best to land all the supplies vessels in the same general area and did a reasonable good job. Supplies are nearly so fragile as human and can hit the ground really hard, but they tend to bounce around a lot. Naturally, they didn't send us to Mars until they confirmed all the supplies had made it to the surface and their containers weren't breached. Start to finish, including supply missions, a Mars mission takes about 3 years. In fact, there were Ares 3 supplies en route to Mars while the Ares 2 crew were on their way home. The most important piece of the advanced supplies, of course, was the MAV, the Mars Ascent Vehicle. That was how we would get back to Helmus after surface operation was complete. The MAV was soft-landed, as opposed to the balloon boost fast to other supplies had. Of course, it was in constant communication with Houston, and if there were any problem with it, we were paused by Mars and go back to Earth without ever landing. The MAV is actually pretty cool. Turns out, through a need of chemical reaction with the Martian atmosphere, for every kilogram of hydrogen you bring to Mars, you can make 30 kilograms of fuel. It's a slow process, though. It takes 24 months to fill the tank, and that's why they sent it long before we got there. You can imagine how disappointed I was when I discovered the MAV was gone. It was a ridiculous sequence of events that led to me almost dying. Then an even more ridiculous sequence that led to me surviving. The mission is designed to handle sandstorm gassed up to 150 kilometers per hour. So Houston got understandably nervous when we got whacked with 175 kilometers per hour wind. We all got in our suit and huddled in the middle of the HAB, just in case it lost pressure, but the HAB wasn't the problem. The MAV is a spaceship. It has a lot of delicate parts. It can put up with storm to a certain extent, but it can't just get sandblasted forever. Nobody wants to stop a months-long mission after only 6 days, but if the MAV took any more punishment, we would get stranded down there. We had to go out in the storm to get from the HAB to the MAV. That was going to be risky, but what choice do we have? Everyone made it but me. Our main communication dish, which relays signal from the HAB to Helmus, acted like a parachute, getting torn from its foundation and carried with the torrent. Along the way, it crashed through the reception antenna array. Then one of those long thin antennas slammed into me and first. Damn, it tore through my suit like a bullet through butter, and I feel like the worst pain of my life as it ripped open my side. I vaguely remember suddenly having the wing knocked out of me. Actually, it's pulled out of me. And my ears popping painfully as the pressure of my suit escaped. The last thing I can remember was seeing Jonathan hopelessly reaching out towards me. I awoke to the oxygen alarm in my suit, a steady, obnoxiously beeping that eventually rose me from a deep and profound desire to, just die. The storm had abated. I was face down, almost totally buried in sand, and I groggily came to. I wonder why I wasn't more dead. The antenna had enough force to punch through the suit and my side, but then it got stopped by my pelvis. So there's only one hole in the suit, and a hole in me, of course. I'd have been knocked down back quite a way and rolled down to the steep hill. Somehow I landed face down, which forced the antenna to a strongly oblique angle that put a lot of tone on the hole in the suit. It made a weak sail. Then, the captious blood from my wound trickled down toward the hole. As the blood reached the side of a bridge, the water in it quickly evaporated from the airflow and low pressure, leaving only a gunky residue behind. More blood came in behind it, and was also reduced to gunk. Eventually, the blood sealed the gaps around the hole and reduced the leak to something the suit could counteract. The suit did its job admirably. Seeing the drop in pressure, it constantly flooded itself with air from my new hydrogen tank to equalize. Once the leak became manageable, it only had to trickle new air in slowly to relieve the air lost. After a while, the carbon dioxide absorber in the suit were expanded. That's really the limiting factors to life support, not the amount of oxygen you bring with you, but the amount of carbon dioxide you can remove. In a HAB, we had an oxygenator, a large piece of equipment that could break carbon dioxide apart and give the oxygen back. But the space still had to be portable, so they used a simple chemical absorption process with expandable filter. I'll be asleep long enough that my filter were useless. The suit saw this problem and moved into an emergency mode engineering called bottlenecking, having no way to separate out the carbon dioxide. The suit deliberately vented air to the Martian atmosphere, then backfilled with nitrogen. Between the breach and the bloodletting, it quickly ran out of nitrogen. All it had left was my oxygen tank. So it did the only things that it could to keep me alive. It started backfilling with pure oxygen. I now risk dying from oxygen toxicity, as the excessively high amount of oxygen threatened to burn up my nervous system, lungs, and eyes. An ironical death for someone with a leaky spacesuit. Too much oxygen. every step of the way would have had beeping alarms, alerts, and warning. But it was the high oxygen warning that woke me. The sheer volume of training for the space mission is astounding. I spent a week back on Earth practicing emergency spacesuit drills. I know what to do. Carefully reaching to the side of my helmet, I got a breech kit. It was nothing more than a funnel with a valve at the small end, and an unbelievably sticky resin on the wide end. The idea is you have the valve open and stick to the wide end over a hole. The air can escape through the valve, so it doesn't interfere with the resin making a good seal. Then, you close the valve and you seal the breech. The tricky part was getting the antenna out of the way. I pulled it out as far as I could, whizzing as a certain pressure drop dazzled me and made the wound in my side screaming in agony. I got the branch knit over the hole and sealed it. I healed. The suit back filled missing air with the air more oxygen. Checking my arm readout, I saw the suit was now at 85% of oxygen. For reference, Earth's atmosphere is 21%. I'll be okay, so long as I didn't spend too much time like that. I stumbled up the hill back towards the hat. As I crashed to the rise, I saw something that made me very happy and something that made me cry. Sad. The hub was intact. Yay! And the map was gone. MAV was gone. Boo. Right at the moment, I know I was screwed, but I didn't want to just die out on the surface. I limped back to the hab and found my way into a airlock. As soon as it equalized, I threw off my helmet. Entering the hab, I dove the suit and got my first good look at injury. It would need stitches. Fortunately, all of us had been trained in basic medical procedures, and the hab had excellent medical supplies. A quick shot of local anesthetic, irrigated wound, 9 stitches, and I was done. I'll be taking antibiotics for a couple of weeks, but other than that, I'll be fine. I know it was hopeless, but I tried firing up the communication array. No signal, of course. The primary satellite dishes had broken off, remember? And it took the reception antennae with it. The HAP has secondary and tertiary communication system, but they were both just for talking to the MAV, which would use its much more powerful system to relay to helmets. Thing is, it only works if the MAV is still around. I had no way to talk to helmets. In time, I could locate the dish out on the surface, but it would take weeks for me to rig up any repairs, and that would be too late. In an abort, helmets would leave orbit within 24 hours. The orbit dynamics made a trip safer and shorter than earlier you left. So why wait for no reason just to make trip get longer? Checking out my suit, I saw antenna had pulled through my biomonitor computer. When on the EVA, all the crew suits are networked, so we can see each other's status. The rest of the crew would have seen the pressure in my suit drop to nearly zero, following immediately by my bi signals going flat. Add to that, I was sent tumbling down a hill with a spear through me in the middle of a sandstorm. Yeah, they thought I was dead. How could they not? There may have been ever a brief discussion about recovering my body, but regulations were clear. In an event, a crewman died on Mars. He stayed on Mars, leaving his body behind reduced the weight of an MAV on the trip back. That meant more disposable fuel and a large margin of errors for the return thrust. No point in giving that up for sentimentality. So that's the situation. I'm stranded on Mars. I have no way to communicate with helmets or Earth. Everyone thinks I'm dead. I'm in a HAP designed to last 31 days. If the oxygenator breaks down, I will suffocate. If the water reclaimer breaks down, I will die of thirst. If the HAP breaks, I will just kind of explode. If none of those things happen, I will eventually run out of food and starve to death. So yeah, I'm, you know.